from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
To Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
I was thinking about that omelet the other day. And, you know, that was a preseason thing we did last year.
Right.
And the Niners went to the Super Bowl. We probably should do something similar again this year.
We should call Cheryl Bosa. I think
we should call Cheryl Bosa.
Yeah, and you can do your omelet again.
Yeah,
and thank you again for the breakfast burrito you brought, which was a couple of months ago.
I'll bring some more. I'm making them in a new way. They're even better. They're even better.
Yeah, I'm not trying to man crush on my partner, but when you show up with breakfast burritos, even though we're doing afternoon drive, I'm gonna eat it.
Oh, those,
and it's delicious.
Those work all day.
No doubt.
How many eggs was in the omelet?
Seven.
I'm going to eat it. Oh, my God.
It's a 7-egg omelet.
So that's a lot of eggs.
And you did the Instagram video, and I was just watching you, and it's crack, 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 and you're just cracking and pouring. And I'm like, there's no way this guy's going to eat it. And then I realized who I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
You are a bottomless pit.
We ate it.
And it's funny because Steiny and Evan today, Evan in for Guru in the middays, they were talking about eating during the show. And Steiny's like, Willard eats constantly. And I was like, he does. And you're still skinny, and, you know, they were like, well, it's because of the show, you know, you eat before, and by the time we're done, it's dinner and whatnot. I'm like, Mark would eat if the show was 8 p.m. to midnight. You still would eat during the majority of the breaks because you're an eater.
That's what we do.
You eat. I just have my fruit salad, and yeah.
If you don't want to talk to me, that's fine. I'm going to eat. Like, if you're not doing something else, you're eating. All right. River Island's guest line, our friend Jake Hutchinson, who's all over the Niners. And Jake, why don't you just listen to this with us? You've probably heard it. I don't think our listeners have heard it. But check this out, and then Hutch, you can react. DeSean Jackson, remember the receiver, Cal product, obviously, was recently on Speak for Yourself on FS1. And states that he was just on the phone with Trent Williams, a former teammate of his. Take a listen.
I don't think we need to panic so quietly. I just was on a phone call with my boy Trent. We call him the big boy, man. You know, he's the gorilla, man. He's working out. And when I say he working out, he in that gym, man. So, and you know what? A little insight. You know, I don't want to talk too much, but I'm going to give y'all a little something, man.
A little something.
They working on something, man. I think they're going to make it right for my boy to come in there, man. He might be showing up a little late. You know, he got some fines and some fees he might have to take care of. But he going to be there, man. So, you know, for the Niners fans, it's going to be all right. So, y'all take it easy. But honestly, yeah, man, he'll be there shortly.
Hutch, your reaction.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. First of all, Trent, I mean, he is a one-of-one athlete, like an all-time elite NFL athlete. So, you know, anyone at age 36 can, you know, just come off the street and be ready. It's him. But he's also not just coming off the street. Like, yeah, he stays ready. He works out, you know. And, you know, you talk to Chris Foerster, who's their offensive line coach, run game coordinator. You know, he's like, yeah, you need a little bit of reps, even if it's Trent. But I think he's going to get enough. Again, you know, I wouldn't stress about him. And I think the fact that Sean Jackson, you know, is saying that it might not be that far away. That wouldn't shock me because Niners have been playing with fire a little bit, and it's getting real, real close to being something that's just very stupid for them. And so for them to keep playing with Trent and not just pay him doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Do you think that the Trent Williams and the Brandon Ayuk are at all related as far as the timeline for both, or are these just completely independent and separate deals that have to get worked out?
Yeah, I think it is. I think in general people want to say they're totally unrelated because they're two different deals. But I do think in terms of both these deals, it's going to be about guaranteed money. And from an ownership perspective, guaranteed money, you got to cut that check right away. And cap-wise, you know, you spread it out over the years, doesn't matter as much. But it's like Jed York, if he guarantees $80 million fully to Ayuk or, you know, what is it, say $50 to Trent, like those checks, those go into escrow, those got to get paid right away. So I wonder how much that plays into this, how much, you know, Jed is like, I don't want to cut, you know, $150 million, you know, right before I'm about to pay Brock Purdy next season. So how much can we limit that? I would say, you know, again, the deals are independent, but I bet some of that is a little bit related, trying to negotiate both at the same time.
Hour 95.7 The Game, 49ers insider Jake Hutchinson is with us here on Willard and Dibs. Hutch, I don't want to ask you the same damn Brandon Ayuk question that everyone's been at, but like, what do we do with this? I got going today, and I honestly got frustrated, almost a little bit angry, because I'm like, it feels like every option is sitting on the table, and he still won't pick one. So, like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I think it's something that has been handled kind of poorly by both sides of this, where, you know, the 49ers sort of called his bluff, and then Ayuk called their bluff, and then they went, okay, well, what do you want? And then he went, well, pay me. And they're like, well, that offer's not actually on the table anymore, and it was to the Patriots or to the Browns, and, you know, maybe the Steelers aren't going to offer the same thing that you really want. Like, I think it's something where Ayuk probably thinks he has more leverage than he has, and the 49ers are a little scared to use the leverage that they do have, which is to say, get into camp, play on your fifth year option. We got a deadline. You're coming in. You're already there. You get on the field. Let's say by this date, we're not going to negotiate anymore. And that's something that they've stayed away from because, you know, their whole thing is their culture is you get an elite player, you develop them, and you pay them. You pay those top tier guys. And Ayuk is one of them. And he's one that fits the Brock Purdy timeline. So to not pay him is something I think they really want to avoid. And make it even more messy. But Ayuk is probably being pretty stubborn that he wants a certain contract, he wants a certain amount of guaranteed money, and until the 49ers hit that number, he's showing that he's willing to be pretty stubborn no matter how stupid everybody looks in all of this.
And is the game of chicken going his way insofar as Pearsall's not ready and Cowing is behind schedule and they really don't have other options? Is the fact that the other options aren't coming to the forefront, does this help Brandon Ayuk in his supposed leverage?
I would say it does. You know, I mean, the fact that Pearsall, listen, like I was high on Pearsall before the draft. I still think he's going to be a great player. Hasn't been out there. Wasn't out there today. And that's a guy that, you know, is a huge reason the 49ers could say, all right, he looks great. Sorry, Brandon, we're not gonna cut that check. The offense looked pathetic without anyone out there. And I know they weren't playing Debo or Jennings, but like Trent Taylor was getting locked up. It was making me think of that Akon song. Like he was just getting thrown to the ground.
Won't let
like,
me out.
Yeah, you got me.
I had to.
It was terrible. It was terrible. And like Chris Conley's, you know, a veteran, he's solid. I liked what I saw from Cowing, but like if you go out there day one, you know, and it's just Debo who can run about three routes really well and can do a ton of things, but he's not like an elite route runner. He's not an X wide receiver. Juwan Jennings, who's a really good slot receiver, but not going to take the top off of defense. Like you got problems. So I think it does help Ayuk's leverage a little bit with that Pearsall injury. But at a certain point, I think if you're the 49ers, you got to just either cut the check or tell them, hey, we're done negotiating. Come play on your fifth-year option. I don't care how uncomfortable it is, because the way this has lingered is just stupid and embarrassing on either side.
Hutch, how do you read the Robbie Chosen thing? Is he making this team?
I don't think so. I will say he made a pretty impressive catch. There were very few highlights from today's practice because it was like last week where after the preseason game, you know, they just went no pads and took it easy and just went with the starters. But Brock Purdy threw a dime of a deep ball over D'Amador Lenore, and Chosen came down with it for a, you know, like a 50-yard touchdown. So that was impressive. That said, you know, unless they don't reach a deal with Ayuk, I don't know if they really want to keep Chosen on the roster. I think they'd probably feel more comfortable week one with Chris Conley. Now, is there a situation where they keep, you know, Chosen on the practice squad and Conley starts the season and then they flip those roles? I could see that, and I don't think it's out of the question. But, you know, from my perspective, if they have Ayuk available, I don't really see why they would trust Chosen with a roster spot.
What did you make of Brock Purdy playing the 11 snaps with a bunch of the twos around him in the last preseason game? Was it reasonable or reckless?
Yeah, it's tough because it's the only time that they're going to really get the ones. I don't think the Raiders, as far as I know, are going to play their ones. So I think Shanahan looked at it as like, all right, usually the second preseason game is when we put the guys out there. And if we don't have Trent, you know, we should see maybe if this offensive line can hold up a little bit. That said, I think you knew going in it wasn't going to be able to hold up. You knew that the wide receivers weren't good enough. You're probably putting your star quarterback in peril. So the logic of like Purdy needs, you know, those reps with guys who can't separate, maybe it's a good thought experiment, but in practice it was, he got hit twice. It just looks scary. You know, you kind of worried about him getting hit and trying to play make way too much. And maybe that's part of it. I don't know, to have conversations. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me. I think some people are blowing it out of proportion, but it wasn't like the smartest decision I've ever seen from Kyle. And I don't know how much Brock really could have gotten out of that experience.
Hutch, you said you're still high on Pearsall. We haven't seen a whole lot. Obviously, fourth round running back Garendo also hurt. Outside of that, early returns on the draft class are pretty fancy. How high are you on the group?
I've been impressed. And one thing, Garendo did return to practice today, and for the first time, he pulled that hammy bad day one, and he got back out there and looked nice. I'm not going to extrapolate much off of one practice, but he was at least back healthy, which is a sign that I think he's going to make this roster and be on this team and maybe be a kick returner. But the rest of the draft class, man, I was high on Renardo Green going in, and he is a certified dog. Like, he knows the craft of playing corner, especially on the outside. And with Isaac Yiadom hurt, he's gotten that opportunity. You know, they were trying to train him at nickel, and they have been, but he on the outside knows exactly what he's doing. And seeing him against Chris Olave was awesome. I think Dominic Pooney has been, I don't know if revelation's too strong, but he's been great. Like, he just seems sound. He seems reliable. He's not making mistakes. And those, again, the 49ers had some offensive line breakdowns that literally lost them the Super Bowl at the right guard position. So that's not nothing. That's something to look for. And then I'll give you Malik Mustafa, who, again, one of my favorite guys coming out of this draft. Thought he was the second best safety in this draft, which is probably too high of praise. But he obviously hits like a missile. But I also think athletically he can cover ground. He's got good instincts. He's smart. Like, he's going to be able to play safety the way you have to in the modern NFL, in my opinion. And I think him and Jair Brown as that safety pairing, you know, for at least the next 2-3 years could be really, really, really exciting.
And does Mustafa's emergence kind of slow play the need for Hufanga to get rushed back, in your opinion?
Yeah, and it's something where Kalanoa Hufanga, listen, like, he's an awesome dude. Like, he's great to talk to, and around the line of scrimmage, he's great, but he's much more in sort of the Jamal Adams mold of, you know, sort of being an undersized linebacker who's great for blitzes, and he sniffs out runs well, and I definitely think they missed his playmaking. But he has, you know, at times in his career been a liability in coverage, and so if he's going to get that job back, and listen, when we talked to him, he was honest about it, that he's got stuff to work on, that he doesn't just accept that it's his job to get back. But yeah, I think having Mustafa, I think them feeling okay about George Odom, I think it makes them feel a little better that, yeah, Hufanga doesn't necessarily need to be ready week one. And if Mustafa keeps ascending, you know, Hufanga could end up in a sort of situational role. And I don't think that's necessarily what they're planning on. But I think Hufanga, given that he's had some coverage issues in the past, I think they have sort of a different view of what they're expecting from the start of the season.
Our 49er insider, Jake Hutchinson, with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Hey, Hutch, Christian McCaffrey's fine, right?
Yeah, he was out there. He's been doing his rehab, jogging around. You know, I saw him doing some little hurdles today. If that gets the blood pumping, I don't know. I don't know what people are probably panicking a little bit just because of the injuries. But he seems like he's on track to be fine. Shanahan obviously raved about him, you know, in a hilarious way, talking about how he's thinking about what shape his feet are in while he's walking down the aisle, which is a little deranged in my view. But yeah, I think McCaffrey's probably going to be ready, you know, going into week one. You know, you don't want to think about a calf injury for your star player before the season starts, but he seems like he's on track to be good to go.
Also, it's clear that you were in the room when Kyle was talking today. Dibbs and I both noticed that when he gave the zero updates thing, he kind of drew the Z's out a little bit. Here it is.
Zero updates. Nothing's changed.
Did you take that as like Kyle is exasperated?
Kyle's always a little exasperated. Like, let's be real. Kyle's always a little bit just tired of, you know, especially when every off season, you know, it's training camp is supposed to be, oh, look at this guy. You know, he's an ascending player, all this stuff. And every single training camp, he has to answer questions about a star player who's either holding out or not there because the 49ers are the most annoying team in the NFL to get these deals done. And they just draw it out, and Kyle has to answer the same question every time, and he has no new answer. So, yeah, I think he's exasperated. I didn't read too much into it because I'm used to Kyle being a little tired with the media at times and occasionally snippy, which I think is probably fair from him. But I didn't read all that much into it as per usual.
And then here is the parting stupidest question of all time, but it's obligatory. Like, I don't know, Hutch, this week? Is it going to be this week?
Listen, I thought things were happening last, like, not reporting anything, just, you know, last week it felt like, okay, there's a little momentum here, you know what the number has to be at this point, and he's not budging. I'm not going to predict anything at this point. I mean, if it was me and I was the 49ers, I would try and get Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk in this week, and then you can have a ramp up to the Jets, who have some very, very, very good corners and have a defensive or former defensive coordinator you know very well. I would think you would want them in the building as soon as humanly possible to gear up for a game where you kind of need to win because the first half of your season is a lot easier on the schedule than the second half. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Jed York is being stubborn about this, or the 49ers are just pinching, you know, pennies in a way that I think will bite them. I mean, Nick Bosa even said last year he started slow. I just don't know how you can confidently go into this year and claim your Super Bowl contender, you know, while two of your star players are not reporting, you know, all of training camp.
Jake, thank you so much, man. Great stuff as always.
No worries. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Okay, there goes Hutch. That's Jake Hutchinson, our 49er insider. I mean, by the way, you know the Schefter one that we keep playing where even he sounds annoyed. He added there's another quote that's now circulating off of the Pat McAfee show today, where he says, quote, "I think at some point this week there will be activity, and we'll see what that leads to. We're all wanting to see how this unfolds, and it's hard to predict exactly how this is going to go."
Right. I mean, it's been hard to predict how this is going to go the entire time, where it seemed like early on, of course, they're going to sign him. They draft a player, They like a player. He's an A-lister. He's going to get extended. The only one they didn't was DeForest Buckner, and that happened well before the draft, and that was one where they made a decision early, and they went with it. This is one where it has always felt like they were going to sign him, and then he requested a trade, and they obliged him, and they shopped him, and they had deals in place, and he said no to New England, and Cleveland fell apart, and Pittsburgh's been lingering, and every time we've thought, well, he's about to sign, then a report comes like, whoa, this Pittsburgh deal looks like it may happen. He's not going to sign. It's been going back and forth so many times, and I think that's why it is so exhausting, because it's felt like 15 different times something was about to happen.
You know what's different about this one, and just listening to you talk about it and think about this, because, for instance, I want to circle back to what we just played for Hutch from DeSean Jackson. This is on Fox Sports 1. DeSean Jackson making these comments earlier today.
I don't think we need to panic so quietly. I just was on a phone call with my boy Trent. We call him the big boy, man. You know, he's the gorilla, man. He's working out. And when I say he working out, he in that gym, man. So, and you know what? A little insight. You know, I don't want to talk too much, but I'm going to give y'all a little something, man.
A little something.
They working on something, man. I think they're going to make it right for my boy to come in there, man. He might be showing up a little late. You know, he got some fines and some fees he might have to take care of. But he going to be there, man. So, you know, for the Niners fans, it's going to be all right. So, y'all take it easy. But honestly, yeah, man, he'll be there shortly.
He'll be there shortly.
He already is late. So I think he's going to be there late. he's already late.
Might be some fines.
Right.
They've already been fined. Here's the thing that's different about Brandon Ayuk. Because I do hear a lot of people, whenever there's like the hullabaloo about Brandon Ayuk, go, oh, why didn't you give this energy to Bosa? Why aren't you giving this energy to Trent right now? Here's why. The Brandon Ayuk situation doesn't make any sense. All of the other ones make sense. Through the years, all of the other ones have made sense. The timing and the sound and the way of the Deebo Samuel situation made sense. Nick Bosa going down to the final week, you may argue, didn't make sense. I'd argue when somebody is literally putting cement on his feet and looking at the team and going, you will make me the highest paid defensive player in the game. And the team doesn't want to do that. And the player is like, you're doing it. And he is absolutely vital. That makes sense that it would wait all the way to the end. And similar to what you just heard DeSean Jackson say about Trent Williams, and I think we've been telling you the whole time, there's no concern with a 36-year-old coming in a week and a half to 2 weeks before the game. That's fine because he's 36. And while, yes, you need to get up to game speed, you don't want that guy working too hard throughout the month of August. It's probably not best for his body. I can at least find a way to have all of these make sense. The Brandon one makes no sense. Nobody wins. Nobody's better off here. Not Cleveland, not Pittsburgh, not New England, not San Francisco, and not Brandon. Nobody's better off. All of the options are on the table. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's exhausted. Everybody's getting annoyed. And they're still sitting there. Makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense.
It does.
Nonsense.
Thank you.
On both sides. And that's the thing that maybe is the most surprising part for me, because we've seen the player side of this take this tact many times, but we've never seen the Niners do what they've done, which is kowtow and give in to Brandon Ayuk's demands. And they misplayed it and they miscalculated what Brandon would want and how Brandon would react. And they've done it at every step. And maybe they thought that by now Brandon would cave and he would accept their offer, or they called his bluff about wanting to be traded. And turns out he doesn't want to go to New England and make the money that they reportedly offered, which you were saying earlier was a big amount of money up front guaranteed that he would have been able to recoup, and this all would have been done a month ago, but he didn't want to accept that trade. So I do think that the sense that it makes is nonsense, and the Niners don't normally proceed in this fashion, and that's what is so surprising to me, because the Trent Williams one for me is cookie cutter veteran who doesn't want to come to camp. The team knows they're going to pay him a little bit more. He knows it too, which is why it's been all quiet on his front. You haven't, I don't even know who his agent is. You haven't heard from him, his Trent's camp, his agent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing. You've heard nothing from any of them until DeSean Jackson came out and, you know, in that cut you just played and said, you know, big fella's going to be there. He might be a little bit late, but he's going to be there. That's the first we've heard of anything surrounding Trent Williams.
Vincent Taylor.
Of course.
Vincent.
Vinny.
Taylor. Yes. That's Trent Williams' agent.
Okay.
Vincent Taylor.
And I think Vincent Taylor's probably chilling through all this. He's not tweeting, I would imagine. He's not sweating it. He's just, you know, waiting until that day.
No, he's definitely
Trent,
not
you ready
sweating.
To get in now and play? Yeah, I'm ready, Vinny.
Yeah, let's go.
Call them.
Yeah. You know what was fun to talk to Hutch about was actual football. And you guys, and you're not wrong, a lot of our pre-show discussions in recent days have been about the 49ers' ability to draft well as Brock Purdy gets a contract, because you're going to need to be able to find players who can contribute who aren't making a ton of money. And I think that that's a thing for all NFL teams all the time, especially the good ones. The Niners are not going to be alone in the idea of having to pay a quarterback. All of these other good teams that we talk about all the time are doing the same, from the Chiefs to the Bills to the Bengals to the Lions to the Packers. All of them are paying quarterbacks, the Rams. So the Niners will simply join them. And yes, it's omnipresent that they're going to have to find some people in the draft. And the track record of this group is, I know people point to some high-profile misses, but if you do start to look at some of the things that have happened round three and later, between round three and seven, stunning number of good players on the 49ers coming out of those rounds. So there have been no games yet, so there cannot be a victory lap. You're not allowed to do that yet. But sit here today and tell me, are there any draft picks that you'd give back where you're like, that's not feeling real good right now?
From this past draft?
So Ricky hasn't played much yet. I don't know where you stand. I still feel very, very good about Ricky Pearsall. In the short returns that you have gotten, the reviews have been really good. I think there are people who I look to who are very high on Pearsall, but he's hurt, and so ... But I'm not, like, down on Ricky Pearsall.
Not yet.
Right?
Not yet. My default, though, with this regime and wide receivers is to default toward the negative.
Okay.
When in doubt, I have doubt, because more often than not, with receivers, there have been more misses than hits.
Sure.
And this is a first-round receiver, and so far, he came in to camp, and he was, you know, hurt, and then he got a little healthy, and then he got hurt. So he's had two different injuries over the course. He had the hamstring.
What round was Dante Pettis? Was that two or three?
Dante Pettis was...
Is that two or three? Two or three, right? It's one of those.
Yeah.
I want to say he was a two.
I'm just looking through the list, and Jalen Hurd. Dante was second round.
Second round. Okay.
Yeah.
So because when you said, like, this regime, the wide receiver picks have not been great.
Trent Taylor, like, in the fifth.
Yeah, but, like, that's a fifth round draft pick.
Okay.
And I know that
Richie James in the seventh.
I mean, Juwan Jennings in the seventh. How about that? And Deebo Samuel in the second, and Brandon Ayuk in the first.
Jalen Hurd in the third.
Jalen Hurd in the third, and he never got healthy, and that was an interesting pick anyway. But I guess my point is, when you have your top three receivers, and they are a true core, and they were all drafted, I hear you. They've had some misses.
Danny Gray in the third.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had some misses. But, like, their top three receivers are drafted players, so they've nailed the position some.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
I just simply said that it's been mixed results. And now you got Ricky Pearsall, and so far he's been unable to play. And I know it's preseason. And again, we're not grading the draft. We don't do that. But early returns are not good. I'm not cautiously pessimistic, but the jury is more out than I would have thought on Ricky Pearsall.
Jury out. I don't think the early returns have been not good. I just think there have been no returns.
But the early returns, you know what I mean? Like, Renardo Green have been good. And Dominic Pooney have been good. And really Mustafa good. Have been unbelievable.
And now Cowing. Cowing got a lot of people's attention the other night. Yep. Don't leave out their sixth round pick, Jarrett Kingston, who might also contribute on the offensive line. I don't know a whole lot about Bethune yet. That's their seventh round linebacker. And obviously, Guerrero, you would at minimum have to put in the same bucket as Pearsall.
Exactly.
Which was, and you and I, I went the day before you. I watched the Guerrero injury. It was the very first practice.
Oh.
And it was bad. Like you heard Hutch say it. Like, that was a good, solid hamstring pull.
Yeah.
Like, the second it happened, you're like, we're not going to see him for a while. But he returned today, and so, you know, whatever, had a good practice. It's just a practice. But let's put it this way. There's not a damn pick out of the group, not a one, where you can be like, that was a mistake.
Early returns.
Very early returns, but I'd argue that most drafts, if you got the team or the real, like, real locked-in reporters in private, they can tell you after the first camp, they're like, that one's struggling. He doesn't look good.
I can use last year as an example.
Yeah.
Cam Latu, at this point last year, was already realized as a bad pick. Third-round pick last year, had endless drops in training camp a year ago, and then eventually got placed on season-ending IR before the season even came around.
And this year, it doesn't look great for him to make the team.
He might not make
the
team.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
So that looks to be a third-round miss, if that's the way that goes.
The last two drafts have been much more bad than good. However, it all gets erased if you found a franchise quarterback, and you did. But like that, I guess that would be my overwhelming point about so far this draft. You can't eliminate anybody. None of the picks can you look at right now and be like, that guy's struggling. You got two that have been too injured to really give us a
right,
great look.
But you might have two starters on a team that fancies itself as a Super Bowl contender, because Pooney's going to start.
Pooney's starting. He looks fantastic.
And Mustafa looks like he's going to start.
No doubt.
So if you get two starters in your 22-man, who are rookies for a team that fancies itself as a Super Bowl contender,
well,
that's pretty damn good.
And don't forget, again, we'll see on Renardo Green, but that one, who, by the way, the second pick in a row the Niners made in this draft where people called them out for reaching,
yeah,
which is the funniest thing ever. Get the guy you need and who you want. If he's good, who cares if it's round two or three?
Right.
Point is he's impressing people right now, which could be a massive poker chip next off season when you've got to deal with both Charvarius Ward and Deamador Lenore. Not saying you want to push anyone out the door, but my gosh, what a more comfortable conversation to have if your cheap round two rookie is performing already at a high level and you can mix him into whatever your stew is going to be.
Yeah, and Lenore drafted in that same year. Jalen Moore drafted, and right now he's your starter at left tackle pending Trent Williams' arrival. But, you know, you laugh, but Jalen Moore is a legitimate backup tackle.
Sure, but he's not going to start is my point.
Probably not.
Yeah,
you know, he's a guy who's been able to stay, and he's been more than a serviceable backup. Ambry Thomas, his Niner career might be over. Aaron Banks in that same draft, he is a starter. So, you know, there have been more hits than misses for sure. I just think that, and this is something we talked about yesterday with Grandy, that this year's draft is very important, not only for this year, but for future years. When your QB starts making big money, you need these guys to still be able to play on their rookie deals and contribute.
Now let's go live to the other room where Mark Grandy is standing by with this San Francisco Giants roster update.
Yeah, one of the things you guys asked Doc Pandya hour and a half ago was about Patrick Bailey, who's not playing in his second consecutive game. The Giants have officially placed him on the 10-day injured list, and they have recalled good old Jackson Reitz from AAA Sacramento.
Reitzy, welcome home. Well,
so the Giants catchers currently are Kirk Casale and Jackson Reitz.
You grumble, but I believe it was me yesterday who said, wouldn't it be nice for Patrick Bailey to just get like a 10-day break or like a 5-day? Or I think I did say actually a 10-day break. This is before we realized that he had gotten hurt, because he got hurt during BP.
No, this was a surprise pull from the lineup yesterday.
Because he had a pull. And so he got pulled, and it was during his extra BP because he hasn't gotten a hit since Groundhog's Day.
But that's not why I'm grumbling.
This is actually a good thing.
That's fine.
Welcome home, Reetzy.
There's it's the whole other part of it that's not good.
Yeah, the Joey Bart part.
There's the Joey Bart part.
Yeah.
There's the Tom Murphy part.
Who?
And there is the
there's the
larger, because it's not just this position. This is exactly what happened when Lamont Wade got hurt earlier this year, and you gave us Trenton Brooks. And now,
that's my guy.
Now you've given us one-legged Lamont. He is no longer late-night Lamont.
Left leg Lamont?
He's left.
I'm not sure which one's hurt.
And we laugh, and I'm sorry that it's an injury, but dude, first of all, why is the hamstring taking this long? And second of all, why are you playing him? If you can't run, you can't play. You cannot be out there walking the base paths. This is the major leagues, and you are trying to make a playoff spot. And you're out there with Lamont Wade not being able to move. So here's the thing, to me, the takeaway on this. This is sort of a gross level of depth that the Giants have amassed at some positions. Their farm system has definitely lost some of its luster in the last year, for sure. Especially with the likes of Marco Luciano looking like he might not be a big leaguer. And Luis Matos' inability to stay. Casey Schmidt's inability to lay off of a pitch that's a foot outside. Or whatever. There's all of that. But what's really been exposed is that when you, in some cases, have one injury at a position, you end up bringing up people that are so clearly not major league players. My sincere apologies to Trenton Brooks and Jackson Reitz. You've worked hard. You've played hard. You're right. You've worked your way and hung in there in the minor leagues. But come on, man. Come on. How on earth are these the bat signal boys? How can they be the second string? How? How can this be what you've got waiting in the wings when there's one injury? Kyle Shanahan said the other day, I go through every scenario before a season, and it's our job to be ready when this player gets hurt or that player gets hurt. X, Y, Z, all the scenarios. What do we do if this happens? What do we do if that happens? How did we get to this? What happens if Lamont Wade gets hurt? What happens if Patrick Bailey gets hurt?
Yeah. And you got no depth.
You end up sending out a waiver for Kurt Casale and then Jackson Reitz, who's basically Bull Durham. That's basically who you brought up.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time down there.
That's frustrating to me. And Joey Bart's over there with his 800 OPS in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you couldn't find a place for him.
Super frustrating.
You chose Tom Murphy instead, and didn't you give him a 3-year deal Tom Murphy?
I don't know if it's two or three. Yeah. But yeah.
Multi-year, it's guaranteed money.
Multi-year deal.
Yeah, it's a shame, and this is one of the big frustrations, because Patrick Bailey was a guy who, even if he didn't get hurt, you probably would have wanted to have a replacement for him anyway, because he's been struggling so much. I know his defense is still fantastic, but offensively, he's been an automatic out for the better part of a month.
2-year deal for Tom Murphy, fully guaranteed $8.2 million.
8.2.
So Tom will be back in 2025.
Yeah. Jeez. Frustrating.
Good luck.
Go get the Sox tonight.
The White Sox are in town.
Yeah.
All right. We're sponsored by Floor and Decor. Let's keep having some fun. And those of you who are on hold, stay right there. We're coming to you next at 888-957-9570. By the way, join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament, benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. This is Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. Can't do it. I want people that want to win.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Maybe we should rehire Mike Singletary to sit down with Brandon Ayuk.
I want winners.
Can't do it.
I want players who are here.
I want people that want to win.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just, we all play the shorter version of that rant, and the long version is incredible.
It's incredible.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners.
Oh, yeah.
I want people that want to win.
Have you ever heard the one that's put to music?
Oh, yeah, like the rap version,
the
right?
The auto-tuned version of the best sports press conferences of all time, and it's absolutely rhythmic. It's unbelievable. Mike Singletary's, he might be my second-ranked sports press conference freak out of all time. It might be my number two-ranked press conference.
It's up there.
And I know, that, like, gosh, the Denny Green one is right next to it. No one will ever beat, who's my Memphis Grizzlies head coach? Who was the, oh gosh, why am I blanking on his name?
Oh, you have that at number one?
Absolutely.
Over,
they're not going to rook us.
Oh, that was Fizdale.
Fizdale, yes. Fizdale.
You have that ahead of, you play to win the game.
Yeah, I do.
Hello?
Because that was just
you
like.
You play to win the game.
That was just
so
like that.
Good.
Yeah, that's the best sentence of all time.
You don't play to just play it.
But Fizdale's entire presentation and the fact that he sounds like Tone Loke, it's too good.
From the YouTube chat, Damon, Jim Mora, playoffs?
Yep.
That's up there.
Denny Green, Jim Mora, Herm Edwards, Fizdale, Singletary, and then don't forget my man who wants more dogs.
Oh, he yeah.
Man, no kitty cat, no, yeah. We need more dog. We need more dog. Don't forget my guy out there down in the South, wherever the hell he was.
And of course.
The Coastal Carolina?
Coastal Carolina.
And Mike Gundy with the I'm a yeah, man, I'm 40.
Yeah, I'm not a big Mike Gundy guy. No, he's been turned into a
just as far as rants goes.
But
I would rather go out there and play with 10 men and get penalized up and down the field. Coach, it's not a penalty when you play with 10. Let's go to Mark in the back. Coach, if I could just offer one point of clarification.
That would have been amazing if you'd interrupted him with that.
Excuse me, Samurai Mike.
It's actually not a penalty.
Anyway, yeah. What does Jeff and Marin have to say? Hi, Jeff. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm watering the front yard. So,
oh, good.
I'll tell you, one of the guys I was impressed with was Tanner Mordecai. And I know it's a very small sample size, but I'm curious to see what you think. And I'm just curious. It seems to me that Josh Dobbs looks like he's won the backup quarterback position. And I think Brandon Allen is very good. But is this maybe an opportunity where – I don't know if they can trade Allen and keep this kid Mordecai and try to develop him, or is it probably makes more sense just to keep those two guys as the backups, the experienced veterans. But again, I was very impressed with Mordecai. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Mordecai might be able to wiggle through to the practice squad. I don't really have a good finger on the pulse on that. Jeff, thank you for calling. I'm not sure exactly the way this one's going to play out. I know that he ran around and scored a touchdown, and so now everybody's decided that Josh Dobbs has got the number two job locked up. I don't buy that yet. I just don't. Because Brandon Allen, meantime, did not have a bad performance either and has been here. They clearly like him. He's been a QB2 in this league. I don't know.
Shanahan was asked about the QB2 battle. Yeah. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Yes, before you play it, I just want to be on the record as saying you can lock it up. Joshua Dobbs is QB2.
Okay.
And it's based largely on what he's about to play.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's kind of like what you guys see. They're pretty tight, so I'm definitely not declaring it now. Hopefully they'll play out more in these two practices and hopefully a little bit more in the game.
Why does that
there's
give you
more
some...
to it. I mean, that's just the cut that they pulled, but he goes on to talk about Joshua Dobbs's athleticism and his intelligence. I think that the full cut was much more.
And then what did he say next? Brandon Allen's a moron? Like, what did he? I mean, of course he's going to give him compliments.
Right. And
he said it's pretty tight.
And they also asked him about normally before the third preseason game, he declares who his backup is.
Mm-hmm.
He probably won't this time. It may come down to who plays better in game three. I would predict, and I've already locked it up, it's going to be Dobbs, and Allen will be traded for a conditional sixth, and Tanner Mordecai will be QB3.
Maybe.
Lock that up.
You're probably right, but I'm not convinced.
Oh, I'm convinced.
Josh Dobbs might get traded.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, he doesn't bounce around much. He's been on like 9 teams in the past hour.
Have the 49ers put Josh Dobbs' jersey in the team store yet? That poor guy.
Yeah, seriously.
That poor guy. Starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals.
I did see it at Marshall's. Oh, no, that it said good. Lance on the
nice
back.
Job. There it is.
That was mean-spirited. Well,
Lucas's family's here, so he's getting loose. He's trying to impress everybody around him. Good job, Lucas. That was a nice swing.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was impressed. I don't know about your mom. You got to ask her.
Whatever, Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's her first time ever listening to the show.
Anyway, yeah, listen, I'm not going to argue with you on that. He was brought in to be QB2. He's probably QB2. But Brandon Allen's got some cockroach stuff going on now, man. You haven't been able to get rid of that guy. He's here for a reason. He's also played well. He also had a real nice throw in that game over the weekend. And here we are coming into the final preseason game. And normally you do name the guy, and they haven't named the guy.
Right.
And let's not act like surprises haven't happened here before. You know, Brock Purdy was supposed to be the guy that was cut 2 years ago in this exact same week. And they swung a trade to send out, I'm blanking on the name, they sent him to Detroit.
Sudfeld.
Yes.
Sudsy.
Nate Sudfeld had guaranteed money.
Yep.
And sent him on out of here because they saw something in practice that we don't get to see. So, I don't know. I don't know. And by the way, let's not act like Dobbs. Dobbs had that, okay, nice drive, nice moments in this preseason game. I'm not going to say that practices have been looking real good the whole time, though. They haven't.
Yeah.
And that's just practice. I don't care about stats. I'm just going by what I see and what I'm told.
Yeah, I guess I'd look at the tea leaves, and if you really were that convinced about Brandon Allen, you wouldn't have gone and brought Joshua Dobbs in the first place to have him compete for Brandon Allen. Mm. And I look at Brandon Allen as a guy who's QB2 minus, and Josh Dobbs is just QB2. He's not QB2 plus, and I said Sam Darnold last year was, and that's looked to be pretty accurate because now he's QB1 in Minnesota, in part because of their the injury to their drafted rook. He might have won the job anyway in the beginning.
In the beginning.
But he's going to get the year now, it sure looks like. And so Minnesota sure needs a backup. Why not reunite him with Sam Darnold and you send Brandon Allen to Minnesota for a conditional six of some sort?
Because the Vikings don't care if he knows the starting quarterback. If the Vikings want a QB2 who knows their system, how about Josh Dobbs? He was the starting quarterback for a period of time just last year.
Well, and they have Nick Mullins already, so you can just get a total 49er alumni group.
Do it, and then we'll see you week two, Minnesota.
Brandon Allen, 2-7 in his career. Joshua Dobbs, 3-11.
Oh!
So there you go. It's a battle of who can lose more games.
Who's making more money?
I think that it's Dobbs. They're both making like about $2 million. I mean, it's peanuts.
Yeah. Like,
you know that Brock Purdy's the fourth highest paid quarterback on the team.
Yes.
Tanner Mordecai makes more than Brock Purdy.
Tanner Mordecai does?
I think so, yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I was looking at the... I'll confirm it. Here, let's try something different. You talk.
No, I don't want to do that.
I could do it. Josh Dobbs making $2.25 million. Brandon Allen, $2.02 million.
Okay, and Tanner Mordecai is...
951.
And what's Brock?
934.
Ooh.
He's making 17 grand more.
Tanner Mordecai makes more than Brock Purdy. It's so
number
funny.
Number four.
Yeah. So funny. Although, only, let's see, Tanner Mordecai, $25,000 signing bonus and $125,000 is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So that's all. I just
Brock
say
Purdy's
this.
Purdy's guarantee, $77,000.
You just mentioned it. Brandon Allen's record, Josh Dobbs' record. Same smell. It's absolutely the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. I know nobody wants to talk about this. If Brock gets hurt, the season's over. So if I'm the 49ers right now, yeah, I got Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs, and I'll tell you who the QB2 is. You want to know who the QB2 is? It has nothing to do with their performance. It has everything to do with what draft pick another team will give me in return. And whichever draft pick is higher, you get that quarterback because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
That's not the way they look at it.
That's the way I look at it.
But that's not the way they look at it.
But it's the facts.
It's not the facts.
It is the facts. If Brock Purdy goes down, the season's over.
Was Cleveland's season over last year? No, it was Flacco the rescue.
They don't have a quarterback who's been to a Super Bowl before waiting in the wings. The Niners don't have that. They've got Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs. And they are up Schmitz Creek.
Oh, boy.
If he goes down.
Dobbs looked good last year with Minnesota.
I'm calling Tom.
2-2. Yeah.
That ball got Schmidt on.
I'm calling Tom if he gets hurt.
Well, you know, Kyle had a chance to talk to Tom before the game. And he said
he said
to ask him about 100 questions.
Right.
What are you doing later, Tom?
If Brock gets hurt, just make sure you don't change your cell phone number.
Possibly.
Yeah. What are you doing in a minute, Randy? What are you doing?
You want to hear from Brian Baldinger?
Yeah.
Why he loves this draft class?
Yeah.
It's coming up next.
Yeah, and I want to hear from Brian Baldinger about how he thinks this crazy train that Brock Purdy played the other night. Anyway,
you should have played that cut instead of trying to crop dust me at the buzzer.
I don't want to rub your nose in it.
What does Baldy know?
Anyway, what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Here comes Grandy. He's wonderful. Be nice to him. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I do, yeah.
Okay, fine. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, and all of Lucas's family. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.